The Reform Witness Hour once again has a special program today, the first half of another speech that was delivered at a marriage conference in the Bethel Protestant Reformed Church. This speech was entitled, The Biblical Role of a Husband and Wife. And the speaker is with us, Pastor Ronald Van Overloop, who used to be a pastor, I believe, in Bethel. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah. For about 10 years.
It's good to come back and to see God's people and
it
to
sure is.
Minister God's word to them. Now, in the first half of your message today, you're going to talk to us about the calling of a husband. And how would you, if you had 1 minute or less than a minute, to explain to someone what is the biblical duty of a husband, what would you say?
I would follow the Word of God as we find it in Ephesians 5, which emphasizes that the calling of the husband as a Christian is to love. To learn to love. It's not feelings and emotions, but it's an understanding of his wife to be a gift from God, which he appreciates, and that his love for God is evidenced in how he loves, looks at, takes care of the wife that God has given to him.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's rather striking that when the apostle addresses husbands in Colossians, he brings that warning, be not bitter against your wife. Now, you just talked about the call to love. How does that fit in, that temptation toward bitterness?
Oh, it fits in tremendously because it's always easy for a man who is made differently than a woman by God, purposefully and deliberately, to look at the wife, the woman that God has given to him, and because she doesn't think the same way and doesn't talk the same way and doesn't act the same way, to be frustrated, to get bitter. And that's why I believe that the parallel to Colossians, or the contrast rather to Colossians 3, be not bitter against her, is that passage in 1 Peter 3, verse 7, which says, dwell with her as a man of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of frustration, live with her understanding that God made her to be different and made her to be a very delicate vessel, precious, honorable, to be kept carefully and cherished. To dwell with her as a man of mm-hmm. understanding.
Yes. Well, this certainly is whetting our appetite for your message, and once again, we're very thankful to have Pastor Ronald Van Overloop with us today, and we're going to hear the first half of his message on the biblical duties of husbands and wives.
The calling to give a message on the responsibilities of a husband, of which I am one, is awesome and frightening. First of all, because just simply the responsibility to bring the Word of God. And secondly, to know that in presenting that calling according to the Word of God, I stand condemned and in need of forgiveness in the same Savior whom I am to represent towards my wife. And so there's a conflict and struggle of emotions and feelings when one goes through a message that presents such a calling. We deal first with the calling of a husband instead of that of the wife. And we do that knowing that in both Ephesians and in Colossians, the scriptures give the responsibility of the wife first. We deal with that of the husband first. We deal with that first because it is Christ's love for his church, for us, that precedes our love. And it is in every marriage ceremony that the husband is asked to state his vows first. And the beautiful thing about that is the fact that the wife accepts her God-given humbling calling of an attitude of submission only because first her husband has said to her, "I promise and vow before God Himself to love you." So before we deal with the calling of a wife, we deal first with the calling of a husband. We do so on the basis of Ephesians chapter 5, where in verse 25, that calling is stated very simply, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." In our Western civilization, where most marriages are occasioned by dating, we know a love that's not the kind of love that's commanded us here in the Word of God. Most of us, even at the age of 13, could look at this man and say, "Oh, I love him." But it wasn't agape. It was phileo. It was an emotional love, a love that emphasized feelings and emotions, saw things in common, delighted in them. But it wasn't this. And that's what's interesting. This text doesn't give husbands a choice. This text is a command from God. Love. We may look in a mirror and say, "Well, how do I work up that emotion?" Well, it's not an emotion. It's not an emotion first. It's a decision. It's an obedient decision. It's looking at God who gives the calling and obeying and deciding morning by morning to love the wife that God has given to me. So this emphasizes that love is, first of all, not emotions and feelings, and it's not just simply the activity of giving and being nice. Those are actions that proceed from love, but love is something more than that. Love is an obedient decision to know and enjoy the presence of a beautiful bond of perfectness. It's to know and enjoy the presence of a beautiful bond of perfectness. This is derived from Colossians 3, verse 14, "And above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." What is there in you women? What is there in your God-given wife that is perfect? Well, when we're dating, we can list a lot of things, right? And then reality comes over the course of 5, 10 years. And we look and we see not perfection. We see habits and idiosyncrasies and inconsistencies. Knowledge of an enjoyment of the presence of a perfection and of a bond that unites two who are perfect. What does that mean? It means this. Love is that faith, the exercise of a God-given faith that looks at a fellow saint and a wife. Because agape is commanded to be between all of us, every child of God. A faith which looks and sees her the way God sees her. You look at that white, and you see somebody who was loved by God, and that's why he chose her. He didn't choose her in order to love her. He loved her from eternity. And that's why he elected her. God sees her as someone that he loves so much that he gave his only begotten Son unto death for her. Faith realizes that that one whom God looks at that way is one against whom he tells us very clearly he will hear no charge brought against her. You can complain in your mind and soul. You can be bitter, but God won't hear any of your complaints. That's why your prayers will be hindered. 1 Peter 3:7. Because you're not looking at her the way God looks at her. To know and enjoy the bond of perfectness is secondly the exercise of a faith which looks at her as if Christ is looking at her, seeing Christ in her, performing a perfect work. A work of regenerating her, a work which evidences itself in her sorrow for sin, her faith in Christ, her seeking and hungering and thirsting after righteousness, her awe, childlike awe and fear of Jehovah. Love is knowing and enjoying what God is doing in her life and delighting in it. It is seeing your wife as God's gift. Always, not just sometimes. When her moods aren't great, when she's ready to be delivered and she's weary of that pregnancy, when she's tired of dealing with little kids all day, she's God's gift to you, given in perfect wisdom and given in infinite love. She is the perfect, God-ordained, God-created, God-designed companion for you. In vain, you look at others and say, I wish she was a little bit more like so-and-so. Why can't you be like? Don't ever say that. But you see her as God's perfect gift, so that even her sins are God's gift. She has to answer to God for them. She must repent of them. She must challenge herself and exercise herself in sanctification to be rid of them. But when she sins, there's God's gift. And your calling is to respond to him. That love of a husband must be like that of Christ. Five things I want to point out rather quickly. One, that love to be like Christ. God is not, by the way, calling you as a husband to do something he doesn't do. One, sacrificial, selfless, self-denying, a selfless giving of oneself.
striving to reflect God's giving his son because he loved, striving to reflect Christ's giving himself. Did you know that here in Ephesians 5, verse 25, is the second time we read that God loved and gave? The first time is in verse 2. Walk in love as Christ also loved us and hath given himself for an offering and sacrifice. He loved us and he gave himself. Galatians 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You say you love, then it's not so much that you give gifts and flowers, but that you give yourself. That's how Christ and God love. As Reverend Brian Smith spoke last night, love seeks not her own. Secondly, to love as Christ means to love unconditionally. When it's more with the emotions that we love, then we say, I love you because, oh, your eyes are so beautiful and your lips are so soft. And your mind is so sharp. I love you when you're nice. No. No, unconditional love means I love you because God loves me. I decide to love you. And it really, honey, has nothing to do with you. I tell my daughters, you seek a man, and I've got many daughters, a church full of them. You seek a man who will love God more than you. And for God's sake will love you, not for your sake. And dear ladies, Christian wives and women, you can't be loved more than when your husband says, honey, I love you for Christ's sake. Her failure to love, her failure to submit, never revokes Christ's command, no less than the love of our Lord Jesus Christ is altered, diminished, or revoked when we fail to return his love. Thirdly, Christ's love is tender. Here in Ephesians 5, the word cherish is used. It comforts. It makes her feel warm. That's what the idea is literally. And what's so interesting about that is that it's not, I make her warm, I make her feel warm. The warmth and the cherishing is not when I think I'm doing it, but it's when she's experiencing it. That's when she's cherished. More on that later. Fourthly, to reflect Christ's love means we nourish. We nourish. We seek her good. We seek her betterment. We seek to supply her with spiritual encouragement, psychological encouragements, emotional and physical. We want her to grow, to develop. We want her beauty, her inner beauty, to be brighter and more beautiful tomorrow than what it is today, and more today than what it was yesterday. And fifthly, like Christ, our love means that we are close. It is not, I bring in a check. I work hard all day. Don't you know I love you? No, love like Christ is to be with her. 1 Peter 3:7, dwell, live, abide in the same house with her. 1 Corinthians 11:11, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man. So that even when you're not next to her, you're not forgetting her. You're not without her. When you're at work, she's there. She's with you. That's the nature of love. That's the nature of Christ's love. Don't you hear him say to you over and over, I am with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Husbands, so love your God-given wives. That love is to be expressed as Christ expresses his love for us. We express it. That means we tell her. It is not, honey, I told you on our wedding day, how many times do you think I have to tell you? But it's telling her until she's embarrassed by how many times you tell her. And it doesn't make any difference, my dear fellow male saints, what your background in training was, what your nature is in personality. Does the Lord who saved you ever get ashamed or embarrassed to tell you how much he loves you? Never. Listen to the words in the Psalter, and they just versify the Psalms. And you watch how many times you don't see the love, the word love in the Psalms, but you find it in the Psalter. Abide in his love, in his love abiding. God wants us, his children, living every day, not doubting, but assured of his love. That's the kind of love we must give to the wives that God has given to us. Now, how do we tell her? Well, there's all different ways. There's words, there's touches, there's kind deeds, there's affectionate expressions. God wants you to tell her you love her a way in which she appreciates. Be aware of that. If you love her, then it's not, well, this is how I would feel good if somebody told me they loved me, so that's how I'm going to tell it to you. I'm fond of using this example. I love roses. Especially those velvety red ones, right when they're in a bud. Although I saw an orange one last week that was just gorgeous. Now, Sue likes roses, but she has a preference for bright daisies. Now, you know where I'm going. If I tell her I love her with roses, that's my way. But if I love her enough to want her to know, then I must tell her her way. Do you know how your wife prefers to be told that you love her? Finally, this. To love as Christ means that you look at her as something to be cherished and nourished. And now I want to use the figure of 1 Peter 3:7. Often misunderstood, because the focus that we often put on 1 Peter 3:7 is how in the wide world is a woman weaker than a man? A weaker vessel, and we miss the whole point. The whole point of that passage, when he says, dwell with her according to knowledge as unto a weaker vessel, that's the literal word order, is that you realize that this wife that God has given to you is like a vase, a precious vase. Not the thick cut glass that you might dare to toss to another guy with good hands. But this is a vase that is so valuable because it's thin. It's so easily broken. And all the cuts on it make it glimmer and glow with an extra beauty that the thicker cut glass won't do. This wife that God has given to you is something you value. As delicate, as precious. Dwell with her as a man of understanding, knowing that she is that kind of a vessel. And so often the attitudes that she may have toward you now are because of the way you treated her in the past. My conclusion is this. Let us commit ourselves every Sabbath, every day, maybe today, to changing the patterns that we've set and established. And no matter how hard it may be, because we've been married so long and we've done these patterns so much, remember this, God is greater than any problem, Reverend Bransma taught us. Remember that in Christ we can do all things. Remember that grace is greater than any sin. Husbands, love, love your God-given wife by appreciating the work he is doing in her.